Well, tonight we're going to talk about how to teach giving. Some of you may be having some problems with raising finances. And if you do, it could be that God is testing you. God has you in a testing time. Or it could be because you are mismanaging your personal finances as well as your area finances. And God will not bless you if you're mismanaging those finances. Or it could be poor personal convictions and giving habits, your own personal convictions and giving habits. Or it could be a poor ministry, and that could mean not a bad ministry, just a poor one. Could be new college ministry, and you don't have much of a broad base, you don't have many contacts, and it's just a poor situation financially. Or it could be that you're too narrow in your ministry and you don't have a broad enough base. The broader the base, the more potential income you have. Or it could be that your team is uncommitted to you. Their hearts, you think you've got their hearts. Sometimes you wonder. And if you've got people on your team that are making money and they're not giving generously to your support, you've got a half-hearted person. And so you can pretty well gauge where your people are with you in their hearts according to their giving. Or it could be that your people are just uneducated, that they have not been taught the principles of giving and the heartbeat of giving. Not just the scriptural principles, but the heartbeat of giving. Now, if those are your problems, I would recommend that, first of all, you pray, that you spend time in prayer for those people that you are interested in giving to your support. Pray earnestly, specifically for them. Then you need to educate your contacts. You need to get them to do a Bible study, and not just the Bible study in the DFD, but a Bible study that is more extensive, more complete. Something that you work up, something that you plan to spend 3-4 hours with a person on. Then you may start with a Bible study, a group. You may get all your DMs together or your ministry team together and you may lay it on them, you know, you may teach them giving. But after that, you still need to get with each individual and talk to them about their giving. And personalize it. And that's where you need to spend the hours, because you want to get into the Bible. Not just throwing out the ideas. You need to dig into the scriptures with them and have them read it with you. Another is you need to encourage and challenge your key contacts to teach others on giving. So your team leaders, your disciple makers, you ask them about sharing with their contacts, their key contacts in particular, about giving. And so they become help co-laborers in helping raise money for your support. Then you write your givers and your potential givers. And when you write somebody expressly for financial help, you've got to write a personal letter. You can't send out a newsletter. Yeah, I mean a form-printed letter. It's got to be a personal letter. And in there, you not only communicate the facts of the ministry, but you've got to communicate the emotion of your ministry. Giving is a very emotional thing. Many of the organizations like World Vision and some of the others, you know, they'll take some skinny little kid that's got, you know, malnutrition and he's ready to die, or he's just, you know, barely hanging there, And you look at the picture and you feel bad, and it says, just give $5 so this poor kid will live. And thousands of people respond to that. It's an emotional thing, and giving is an emotional thing. It is not just a factual thing. And so you need to share your heart, your emotions of your ministry in your letter. You know, not telling them I cry every night about, you know, my lack of finances. And then in that letter, you can enclose a stamped return address postcard. And on the back of that, you put three or four questions or things that they can check. One would be, please continue to send me your newsletter. The second, we are praying for you. And I wouldn't say daily or anything, but just we are praying for you, and get those people committed to praying for you. And then the third can be, we would like to give to you. And then leave a space, you know, and monthly after that. And the fourth one, we would like to be dropped from your mailing list. You may not want to add that one to yours. But sometimes it's good to clean those out, those people that really do want to be dropped. So this just provides a postcard that's very simple for them to fill in. And with a stamp on it already, it's more of them will more likely come back to you. You've got contacts in your churches nearby, and they can check with their pastor on getting you in to speak at a meeting or to talk to the mission board, and you can raise money that way. Some of you, your people have relatives, they have friends who are Christians, and they can tap that resource. They can tell their people, you know, I'm getting this spiritual help from the navigators over at the university, and boy, you know, I know they'd sure appreciate it if you could give something to their to the support of that nav rep over there. And they can kind of recruit this for you. And a lot of those relatives really want to do that if they're Christians. They know what's happening to their nephew, their niece, or their son or daughter. Those are just some pointers on some things you can do, and you already probably know a lot of that. Another thing that we need to be ready to do is answer questions. Like, I don't make any money. A lot of college students don't make any money. Their parents are putting them through school, and you can't expect them to give some of that money to your support. If they were, they should ask their parents for permission to do that, because that's their parents' money. But one thing they can do, they can get a job. And though that's a shocking thing to a lot of college students, a lot of them really experience enjoying doing a little work. And you encourage a guy to get a job 3-4 hours a month and give all of that to God. And I have had numerous college kids that have come up to me and told me that it's changed their life. Numerous ones. At conferences, wherever I go. Last time I went up to Canada, I'd been up there twice, and a guy came up to me and he said, Harv, when you said this, and I did it, and it changed my life. Another question would be, or another problem situation, I'm giving 10% already. Well, you can educate that person in the scriptures on how they can give more than that and why they should give more. I'm giving all I can. I'm obligated to some debts. In that case, you may have to help the person with a management plan, managing their finances. We're going to go over that in a few minutes. The guy says there are some extra expenses coming up that I have to prepare for. Well, in that case, I'd use James 4, you know, not worrying about what's going to happen in the future. Going into this city, such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what is on the morrow. And so not neglecting giving from the money that I'm making right now for future expenses, but giving generously from what I'm getting right now, regularly. I'm going to Bible school, so all of my money will be going to him anyway. And so I'm saving all my money up to go to Bible school. How do you handle that one? I've got a grudging spirit, therefore I don't give. And I've had several tell me that one. And so you've got to go to 2 Corinthians 9:7 and show them that that is not what it says. It doesn't say that if you've got a grudging spirit, don't give. It says, don't give with a grudging spirit. So the Bible is full of the challenge to give. In fact, somebody said, I read it somewhere and I can't remember where, that giving is the second most mentioned subject in the Bible. It's all over the place. And as you recall, you just reflect back on passages all over, there are promises of God. He says, oh, if you'll only do this, I'll do this. I'll do this for you. And we see the Israelites, you know, they turn their heart, they repent, and they come back to God, and God just dumps the riches and prosperity on them. And then they make gods out of all of that stuff, and then he's got to take it away from them again. The Bible is just full. Jesus said a lot about giving, and he made tremendous promises to us in regard to giving. Tools to use in teaching giving. Now, if you're teaching a small group, you can use some large visual aids. Something like, when it comes to giving, some people will stop at nothing. another one would be, give God His first part. His part first. And so just getting a point across as you're presenting your challenge, the first fruits of our giving. I use humor. I use jokes. I use illustrations, personal illustrations, funny illustrations. Some of you may recall seeing this little book, Money, 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 right? The little baby scenes. And some of those are just hilarious. And I use this in a personal time with a man that I'm going over giving with. And it's so funny. I just crack up every time I look at it. You got different ones. Here's little, it's all about envelopes, you know. And today, just a few words about envelopes. And so each baby has got a different expression, and they're not big enough for you to see back there. But here's a little gal. She says, I won't use envelopes, and that's final. And then there's one back here that's just tremendous. This guy right here, he says, oh, is that a 10 or a 1 I put in? And then this one is really good. He says, wow, look what he put in his envelope. So I try to use humor and illustrations to kind of not just break it up, they're all related to money and giving, but to just give it a little lightness and to press across a point in many situations. Some of you will remember the thing on the threes. This guy got up and looked out the window and the thermometer said 33. Remember that one? And then he went downstairs and the clock had stopped at 3 o'clock. And he got into all these threes during the day, and finally it occurred to him, boy, he looked at the racing record and there was a horse named Trio. And he went down, he got all his money out of the bank and he put it all on Trio to win, and he came in third. And it's just a funny little deal, but it, you know, and you can pick those things up and you can use those in your challenge either to a group or on an individual with a guy. And when I talk about individual time with a guy, I'm talking about 3-4 hours at least on this subject. It's tremendously important that he thoroughly understand why he should give and why he is giving, to whom he's giving, etc. What, where, when, who, why, how. Now, you remember the little deal on It Dawned on Me, right? Remember that one? So I throw that little gem in there. I'll bring that one up a little later. The three men in the hotel. Remember that one? $30, and they had $5 too much. So I use these kind of things. Now, I also use personal illustrations. For instance, I was standing out in front of church, and, you know, the Bible blew open to Haggai. It's a personal illustration, something that happened to me. It was the way God worked in my life on getting me to give. I talk about my Uncle Oliver sometimes. He was a very wealthy man. And I challenged him in his last few months of life to give his money to God, at least, you know, a large portion of it. I even showed him how his children would still get all the money that they would otherwise. And he said, nope, can't do that. Boy, I've loved my children all my life, and they deserve all I've got. And so he died, and they've been in courts trying to get that money ever since. They hate each other. They were a very close family. They've threatened to kill each other. And it's been in the courts for years, and they'll never get that money. Anyway, I talk about my Uncle Walt, and we were taking a trip, and his brother had asked him to call his son. And it cost 35 cents, and my Uncle Walt made a big issue of that. And as we were leaving, we were driving down the road, my uncle said, you know, Harv, that may have seemed funny to you that I didn't want to call his son because it cost 35 cents. But he said, 35 cents means more to me today than it did years ago when I didn't have any. He said, I just can't let it go. He's worth $1 million. I use those illustrations. Some of you have heard those. My sister Pearl, I was home. She was telling me, I asked her about her giving. And she said that they give, and they've been giving regularly between 15 and 20% for years. And I said, sis, do you really get excited about your giving? Do you just get, you know? And she said, well, I can't say I really get that excited about it. And I said, well, then, sis, there's something wrong. And I taught her why she should get excited about her giving. We spent some time in the Bible. And a couple weeks after I got home, I got a letter from her, and she said, boy, she and her husband had just gotten so excited about their giving. I use that as an illustration. Here's another poster. Happiness is receiving and giving. Smiley face. College kids. I've used that illustration in sharing with some college kids that I've challenged to get a job, to work 3-4 hours a month and give that money to the rep that they're in ministry with. I share the illustration of Dick McLaughlin on the ship and how I was so excited about giving, and when he came in that night, I said, well, sit down, I'm going to teach you. And I got him going. We went over these scads of verses, and he wanted to give 20%. I said, no, you got to give 11%. Got to start with 11%. So he started with 11%, and then he wanted to go to 30%. I said, no, you got to go to 20%. And then I went to 25% because I wanted to be a pace setter, if you remember that. And then he went to 30%, and I went to 35%. But see, that's a personal illustration. I'm sharing what God has done in my life. And I was with Dick. I was just so excited about the giving and what God had been doing in my life. Patty Bates, I use her. She was dying, and she was in a coma. And as I stood over her and I wept as I was praying for her and to her and talking to her, and it occurred to me that it doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter how much money she's got in the bank. It doesn't matter how many clothes she's got in that closet. It just doesn't make any difference anymore. I use that in a message or in my personal time with a guy to show the vanity of riches. Not that it's bad to have some. We'll get into that maybe a little bit. I share about how God has given me some things. Once in a while, I've used the illustration when I got a Dodge, an old Dodge out in California. A guy gave me an old Dodge. And I went upstairs. I was so excited. I told Johnny Crawford. I was living with him, and I said, Johnny, this guy just gave me his car. And he said, well, that's not too surprising. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, didn't you give a car to the Navigators a few years back? And I said, well, yeah. He said, Harv, God will be debtor to no man. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He said, I'm only surprised that God didn't give you one before this time. I learned from that. I share that with a guy. Okay, personal illustrations. But you got to have some. And a lot of you have got them, but you haven't thought about them. And you need to think and pray and gender up some of those things that God has done for you. And some of you guys are sitting on top of that thing, and it's just been snuffed out for years, and it's a thing that you ought to be praising God for today, and you ought to be sharing it with others so they could learn likewise. Now, how to teach giving? We teach by experience, example, environment, and education. And I don't know how far we're going to get with this. I mentioned before that we need to ask those that we're meeting with some questions. And these are questions that, first of all, you need to ask yourself. What do you give? How much? This is the what, where, when, who, how, why, right? What motivates you in your giving? Now remember, we're talking about your personal experience. Okay? What motivates you in your giving? Where do you give? And why do you give to them? When do you give? How often? Who do you think should give? Everybody? How does God look on your giving? How do you give? Generously, liberally, sacrificially, willfully, or grudgingly and sparingly? Why does God want you to give? Why do you give? What motivates you? And these are just a few questions I just thought up. But before you can share your experiences with others on these questions, you've got to have the answers yourself. And I know that some of you out there do not have those answers. And it's so easy to become methodic in our giving that a guy does it out of habit. And as far as I can see in the scriptures, God hates that. Isaiah 1, 11 through 19. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And on and on and on. Verse 19, he says, offer unto God thanksgiving. And when you give your gift, it's got to be a thanksgiving gift to God. A generous, liberal gift to God. Also, and what you need to do with the people you're meeting with is they've got to answer these questions for themselves. But you can't expect them to answer these questions if you haven't answered them yourself. My testimony again. I share my experience by my testimony. And so I share how I was raised in a Christian home and I'd gotten turned off on giving just as a young lad. And after I committed my life to Christ, it never occurred to me that I should give. I just blocked it out. And it wasn't until that day I was out in front of that church and the Bible opened up to Haggai. And so then obviously I share with the guy what I got out of Haggai that afternoon when I read it. And how I read that, though you look for much, it comes to little. Why, saith the Lord? Because I blew on it. And you walk around as though you have holes in your pockets. And that really communicated with me. And I said, yeah, that's right. And boy, God really spoke to my heart on that. And I said, no wonder I don't have any money. At the end of the month, it's all gone and I don't have enough. And so I decided to do this study on giving. And the next verse I read, and I don't remember how I got these verses. I suppose a concordance of some kind. Malachi 3, 8 and 10. Will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me, Harvey? And it was personal to me. I was experiencing it, and I had robbed God for years. And then he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I said, okay, God, I'll try you. That sounds like a pretty good try. He says, try me, prove me. And so, you see, that was my experience. That happened to me. And I said, okay, God, I'll try. But then I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how much to give. And I thought, well, I'd probably give 10%. And then I thought, no, that traditional 10%, I want to see what the Bible has to say about giving. You remember my routine on that? And after reading the New Testament, the Gospels through, I couldn't find what Jesus had said about giving. I couldn't see anything on 10%. I went to this guy and asked him how much he gave, and he said, "Well, I give. I can't tell you how much I give. You know, you're not supposed to let your left hand know what your right hand doeth, right?" So I walked off. I talked to another guy, not quite so spiritual, and he finally told me he gave 50%, and that just blew my mind. And that's when I went back to the Bible, and I got to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and I found that Jesus said, "Give alms," and I didn't know what alms were. And so I looked that up in the dictionary, and it said, "Give a special gift to those in need, specifically to the poor." It seemed to imply a special gift. So I thought, well, if Jesus meant to give over 10%, why didn't he just say that? And then it came to me. And this is where I use that little illustration. The guy was sitting out by the lake and he saw the sunset, and it was a beautiful sunset, and he sat there all night trying to figure it out, how that all worked, and finally it dawned on him. Well, that's where I kind of throw that little deal in there, you know. But it dawned on me that was my experience. It dawned on me that Jesus was preaching to the Jews. The Jews were already giving 10%. So they didn't have to be challenged. In fact, some of the scholars say they were giving 18% if you figured everything in. So he said, "Give above what the law requires." And so I decided to give 11%. Well, and most of you know the rest of my testimony, so I don't have to go through that again. Then I experienced God's promises for myself. That Malachi 3:8 and 10, God's opening up the windows and pouring out blessings, and that happened to me. I experienced that. And so I've shared with guys, God just blessed me so much that I just kept giving more and more, and he blessed me more and more. Then I experienced also that he made me fat. You know, a liberal soul shall be made fat. And it's happened in more than one way. Then the love relationship with God. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I experienced that. As I gave, my relationship with Jesus just deepened. My love for him just deepened. There was a direct correlation. God's provisions, Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your needs." And I found that happen. I figured out all my money that I owed while I was still in the Navy, and I figured I couldn't get out of debt before I got out of the Navy. And during those next 2 years, I kept upping my giving, and when I got out, I had all my bills paid, and I never did figure it out. But God supplies all my needs. God's giving me more than I can handle. Luke 6:38, right? "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." That's a promise. And I have experienced that promise. And I experience it today. It's just running over. I've got more than I can use all the time. Right? So do you. Right, Wally? And one of the reasons I've got more than I need is because at the same time, God is working in my heart on my value system. And so Proverbs 13:25, "The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the stomach of the wicked is in want," always wanting. What kind of an appetite do you have? Is it satisfied? And you ask your guy that you're going over, "Well, how much is that? How much does the guy have to, you know, how much does a guy have in order to be satisfied?" Well, a guy can have nothing if he's a righteous man and be satisfied. And then God's blessings. On that satisfied thing, by the way, you develop a lifestyle. And I don't know how many of you have done that. But especially as a single man, a single gal, as you learn to give to God generously and you learn to live on less and less because you want less and less, it penetrates your whole lifestyle. You get married, you got kids, and it's still there. And it doesn't mean that you get so tight, you get squeaky. In fact, I've got more stuff than I ever thought I could have. A lot of it's given to me. But there's that inward desire to just not get all these extra things. Uh-oh, we lost something. So my appetite has been satisfied. It doesn't take much to satisfy me. I'll take my wife out on her birthday to go get her something, get her a dress or buy her something. I say, honey, just what would you like? And she says, honey, I don't want anything. And we'll go shopping for a couple hours and I can't buy her a thing because there's nothing she really wants. It gets a little perplexing sometimes. So I just get another dozen roses. She loves those. But that's what you develop a lifestyle of not wanting. Very little satisfies you. And sometimes you splurge like crazy, you know, and you go to the Hilton and have a steak dinner, and next three times you go to McDonald's. God's blessings on us. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the more a guy learns to give, the more he understands that concept. Now, some of you have seen parts of that. And so I don't plan to cover all of that. But I just want to refer to the one root here. And that's lordship. And that's what we're talking about right now. Dying to self. And so if a guy is giving and he's giving generously to God, you die to self. That's literally what happens. You become selfless. And so as a result of that root growing down into Christ, you develop all these fruits up here. And these fruits are a direct result of your dying to self, Christ being Lord of all your money. If you don't have these fruits up here, there's something wrong with that root. Well, so we teach by example. Number two, or whatever you're doing. First, by experience. Second, by example. What are your present convictions and actions? What are your feelings about giving? Giving is a feeling thing. And you ought to feel it. It ought to be a tremendous experience before God Almighty. By example, when I got with Dick McLaughlin, I didn't just give him a bunch of stuff, telling him what he should do. I shared with him what God had done in my life. I was just so excited about it. And so I shared the scriptures that God had spoken to my heart on. Then you can share on the backstroke with your guy. Just recently, my kids. At the breakfast table, we always have a time of prayer in the morning, and we pray for missionaries and so on. And every now and then I get one of these advertisements in the mail, you know, I get a lot of them, pleading for money of different sorts. And a little while ago, we got one on some tube of ointment that this mission society was using in India and some other countries to cure a disease of children that were born with an eye disease, and it causes the eyelid to grow inward, and it bulges. And what happens is they blink and blink and blink, and they actually go blind with the scraping of the eyelash against the eye itself, and it blinds them. Well, this stuff will heal them. It'll cure their eyes. And for a $5 gift, it would buy seven tubes, and one tube will cure the eye of a person. So for $5, you can have a part in helping seven people get their eyesight. Well, that's kind of exciting. And so I shared this with my kids. And I said, well, how do you feel about that? Would you like to give to that? Oh, yeah. So one said, I'll give $2. And I'll give $1 out of their allowance money. And they don't get very much. But they take it out of their bank. But they're learning to want to give. They're learning to feel the needs of others. And I'm building that. I'm developing that. And so I put a few bucks in and then take theirs. And when we get a receipt for them, I show them the receipt. And, you know, and we pray then for those people that are going to get that. And in this case, it wasn't even a Christian outfit. So, but you need to do that with your man, with your gal. by example. I share with a guy, I ask him, what'd you do with your tax return last year? Oh man, it came in just, boy, it came in handy, boy. I bought a suit and my wife bought it, you know, and we spent it. And so I say, do you ever think of giving that to God? No, I never thought of that. Well, you know, I kind of figured that out a few years ago, that the reason I get all that money back is because I give that money to God. And then I get the money back, and it's really not right for me to keep that money. I already gave it to God once, so I got to give it back to Him again, right? And a lot of guys don't think of that. But it's a giving that they can learn to give. It's a generosity thing that you're building into their lives, and it's by example. Or you share an experience that you had in some sacrificial gift. Sometime you didn't have the money, but boy, you wanted to give and you wanted to help this guy, and you dumped the money on him, and it was really a sacrifice. And you're not doing that to uplift yourself, but you're teaching him the rewards of sacrificial giving. And as an example, we're not only a witness, we're not only a recruiter, but we're a pace setter for those people that we're reaching. By environment, you're responsible for developing an environment with your whole team. And you do set an environment of one nature or another. There's either an environment there of wanting to give to others, wanting to be selfless, seeking not his own, but that of his neighbors, 1 Corinthians 10:24, or Titus 3:14, for our people must learn to help all who need their assistance, that their lives will be fruitful. And you kind of set the tone for that. You teach your leaders and your disciple makers, and you help them with their whole financial picture, with their management of their finances. And I'm going to show you just a sketchy little thing here in a minute on how to help a person manage their finances. And then you encourage them to teach their contacts giving. And so giving just kind of penetrates throughout your area. And it isn't that you get up there and preach a big message, but you're teaching scripturally, individually. And then one very important factor is to be positive about giving. Be positive about it. Within every person, there's that inner desire to know and worship God. And there's also that inner desire to want to give to God. In the heathen religions, they all have giving to their God. Some way they give to God. And so even as a newborn babe in Christ, he wants to give to God. It's a natural desire. Just as he craves for milk, he wants to have an intimate relationship with God. And some guys are afraid to talk to a guy about giving, you know, the first few weeks that he's a Christian. And I say, man, the Bible is so full of it that we need to. And it's one of the easiest things a young Christian can do. And the tremendous blessings he can get from it. Don't rob your young contacts of those treasures. The last, we train by education, by instruction. We talked about man-to-man. That is by far the best way to teach giving. Now, we teach our people a lot of things. You've got your charts. I have one of mine. And so we take them through a process of training in order to develop them and bring them to a point where, you know, they become a fruitful disciple maker. But in here, we've got giving all the way through. And that's in our profiles. And yet, boy, we help a guy with quiet time and we help him with Bible study and we help him with scripture memory. But how often do you help him with giving? And it's just as important. Well, let me show you this management plan. Some of your people need some help with managing their finances, or you may need it yourself. And I'll just allude to this, and if you'd like a copy of this, you can come up and get one afterwards, and I'll just tell you how I use it. I got this from my prof in college after he'd given us all kinds of complicated systems. And I asked him if he had anything simple. He said, well, let me tell you what I do. And so he gave me this, and it was right down my line. And so I didn't use it for years. I finally dragged it out a few years back and started using it. But all you have is the basic expenditures of a person. And what a guy does is he lists all of his expenditures during the month. Each one, 5, 10 cents, you know, everything. He jots that down in his success diary or something. And once a week he transfers that to this. At the end of the month he tallies this and he sees what his totals are. Then after about 3 months, he sees patterns of his expenses. Now he decides, do I want to spend that much money in that column or don't I? Boy, I spent too much money on entertainment this month. Do I want to do that or don't I? Well, if he wants to continue, he's got to take it from somewhere else. And now he's making provision for doctor, dentist, conferences, clothes, savings account, and future expenses. I've coded these. The SXs are savings musts. These are for bills coming up pretty soon, the SXs. The Ss are savings when possible. So, you know, a guy can do without it. And then the S in parenthesis is savings perhaps. Actually, the amounts here, this bottom one is for couples with three children and what they can live on. And so if the guy has got a $14,000 income, we actually went through some statistics on this, and he'd have about $900 a month available, and this would come to about $847, just the thing that I've drawn up here for him. Now, a lot of guys say, man, I can't do that. But once they get into it and work it out, it really works. And for the first time in their life, they're not only saving money, but they're giving money much more than they have before to the Lord. So you may have to develop something like that with some of your people, showing them how to manage their finances. Proverbs 20:21, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. And so the wise man, who has some kind of a plan for his finances, will have treasures and oil available to him. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to advantage. Luke 16:10-11, Jesus said, be faithful in the use of riches. And in Luke 19:11-26, Jesus again, using the illustration of the guy that went and buried his one little mina, that thing that was worth about 20 bucks or something, went out and buried it, and God, Jesus rebuked him for that. And he said, wisely invest what God has given you. Now, we need to warn our people about certain things. Money can become your God. Romans 2. Or 1 Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. In Luke 12, verse 16-21, it's the story of that rich guy that built more barns to put more of his grain in. And Jesus spoke of him as the greedy one. So being greedy and stocking it up, seeking to become rich or richer, and that motivation is deceitful. Deceitfulness of riches. Matthew 13:22. He gives the illustration of the seed being sown among thorns. And he says, this is the deceitfulness of riches, choking out the word of God and making one unfruitful. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Ecclesiastes 1:1, Solomon. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then he goes through the whole story, his testimony on how all these things that he had pursued, all these treasures he accumulated and all the pleasures, and he finally says it was all empty. And you need to go over that with your people and show them the deceitfulness of riches. Here's a guy that had it all, and it was empty. And in Job 15:31-32, it really illustrates it clearly. It says, "Let him not trust in emptiness, deceiving himself, for emptiness will be his reward. Before he dies, all his futility will be evident to him, for all that he counted on will disappear."
What's that reference?
Job 15:31-32. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money." How much does it take to satisfy us? Well, a little bit more. Some of you, boy, when I could get a couple $100 in the bank, and then you get a couple hundred, and then you, if I ever get $1,000 in the bank, and then you get $1,000, and then it's $2,000 or $5,000, and there's never enough. Never enough. First Timothy 6:7-12. "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil." So it's important that we share the scriptures with our key people and we protect them from Satan's luring them into the ways of that will eventually destroy them. Now, in sharing your convictions and experiences, I'm going to just give you a bunch of verses, and you can write these down if you'd like, on the what, where, when, who, how, why. And then this will just be probably a kickoff for you. Only a starter, and then you can go from there and pick up some other passages, but maybe this will give you some help for some of you that haven't done this in the past. What to give? How much to give? And you begin answering that question for yourself. 1 Chronicles 29 tells about David's raising gifts for the temple, and they brought in gold, iron, they gave their service. They brought in copper and sheepskins and goatskins and all kinds of things. In Exodus 35:36, Moses was collecting offerings for the temple. And they collected gold and silver and linen and skins and wood and all kinds of things. Now, what's strategic about that is that people from every way of life gave what they had available to God. Whatever resources they had to tap, that's what they gave, and they brought it all into the temple. Deuteronomy 14:21-29, we are told to give the tithe of all. In Deuteronomy 16:17, we're told to give as we're able to give, and as God has blessed us, we should give. Also on that would be 2 Corinthians 8:11-12. Then in Luke 18:18, Jesus suggested to the rich young ruler that he give all that he had to feed the poor and follow him. But now Jesus didn't say that to anybody else. So it isn't that every guy has to give everything. But for this guy, God wanted him to give all of it. everything. And then the little widow, the poor widow. I remember the first time I read that I heard the sermon on it, this poor little widow, she had only 2 pennies and she gave all that she had. And I thought, well, she didn't have anything to lose. 2 cents left, you might as well give it. But the point there was that from out of her heart, she gave everything she had. Now, she didn't give everything she had all the time, but that one time. And it was obviously a sacrificial gift that she brought, and Jesus picked that up. Mark 12:44, again, well, that's that verse on the widow. In Genesis 47, the children of Israel were glad about giving 20% to Pharaoh. That's what it says. They were glad about giving it. That was a tax. And the reason they were glad about it was because he had taken them out of a situation of starvation, brought them into this land of plenty. Well, comparing that with what God has done for us, and how many are glad about giving generously like that to God. Where to give? Romans 15:27, Galatians 6:6, 1 Corinthians 9:11, all on giving to those who are helping us spiritually. Deuteronomy 14:27 says, do not neglect the Levite in your town. And that was, again, on giving. Yeah, Romans 15:27, Galatians 6:6, 1 Corinthians 9:11, Deuteronomy 14:27, and then 2 Timothy 2:6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And Deuteronomy 25:4 would be the counterpart of that. So giving to those who are helping us spiritually is a scriptural principle. 2 Corinthians 12:13. Paul wrote to them and said that he was sorry. He asked their forgiveness for not letting them give to his support. Now, he had had reasons for not letting them give, but he saw that he had wronged them by not letting them give to his support. Nehemiah 10:35 through 39, the Levites were to bring 1/10 of the tithes that they received to the priests. Now, this is the first time that I got a verse on this for giving to those that are responsible for us. And so, where does an area rep get his finances? Or where does a contact point get his? Well, he gets it from those that he's ministering to. He gives to the area rep that's overseeing his ministry. The area rep gives to the state director who's overseeing his ministry. The state director gives to the RD sometimes, who is responsible for him. And the RD gives to the divisional director and so on. And the idea or the principle is giving to those who are our leaders, who are helping us or responsible for us. When to give. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Exodus 23 on that also. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. Give when it is in thine hand to do so. So there are some people that will pledge stuff that they have no idea where they're going to get the money. And you can do that if you've got faith equal to it. But the scripture indication is to give from that which you have and what you are gaining. Then a certain need arises. And where to give to that? Haggai 1 was for the temple, as was Exodus 35. An illustration on this would be in Luke 16, verses 19 through 22, with Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man comes barreling in with his chariots and blowing dust all over Lazarus. He's sitting there with his sores. And it was his responsibility to help Lazarus. And God brings people our way. It isn't our responsibility to take care of everybody's needs throughout the world. But God brings people our way, to our doorstep, or we come in contact with them. And it's our responsibility to help those that God brings across our way. 1 Corinthians 16:2, give weekly. That is, every week. Who to give to? Or who should give? Who is to give? Well, everybody's supposed to give. And the leaders are supposed to set the pace. In 1 Corinthians 29:3 through 9, David set the pace. 1 Chronicles, thank you. 2 Chronicles 31:3, Hezekiah set the pace. And in Exodus 35, 5 and onward, God says, all those whose hearts are willing are to bring offerings onto the temple. And so those who have a willing heart are supposed to bring gifts to God. Luke 12:48, from those who receive much will much be required. According to what we receive from God, we're required to give. Deuteronomy 16:16 and 17, all who are blessed by God. How to give. Isaiah 1:11-19, I mentioned that one earlier. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Your sacrifices, etc., I cannot do away with. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Exodus 35, I just mentioned that one, and chapter 36, willingly. And in 36, the priest came and told Moses, you got to tell him to stop giving because we got more than we can use. And that's what will happen every time, gang. If your gang gets the right spirit about giving, you'll have more than you can use if you're teaching and challenging your people to give in a scriptural manner. Psalm 50, verses 8 through 14. Again, on thanksgiving. We're to give with thanksgiving. And God uses the illustration. He says, Harvey, and this is the way I got it when I was getting these verses. Harvey, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because I won't eat the flesh of bullocks, or will I drink the blood of goats. Offer unto God thanksgiving. He doesn't need my money. He made the everything that my money is made out of. So he says, I don't need your money, but I do need your love, your expression of your love and your thanksgiving to me. 1 Chronicles 29:11-13. 2 Corinthians 9:10-12. Again, thanksgiving. Now, let me give you just a couple more here on this one. 1 Chronicles 29, the whole chapter on willingness. Proverbs 3:9-10, as honoring unto God. 2 Corinthians 8:7 and 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, on giving cheerfully, generously, bountifully, purposefully, not grudgingly or of necessity. Proverbs 21:26, the righteous give not sparingly. 1 Corinthians 13:3, out of love. Otherwise, it's like a clanging cymbal. And always being ready to give. I like these verses. 1 Timothy 6:18-19 and 2 Corinthians 9:3. Always ready to give. Why? Why give? Proverbs 3:9-10. We honor the Lord with our substance because we honor Him that way. Luke 11:41, purity is demonstrated by generosity. Another reason is because of the rewards I get. Malachi 3:8-10. I've experienced that. God has opened the windows of heaven and just blessed me tremendously. Proverbs 11:23-24, because He has made me fat, and I'd like to have him keep making me fat in the right way. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I want that heart, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And my giving is just another thing that helps develop and deepen that relationship. Philippians 4:15-19. It gets us into a position of trusting Him and experiencing His provisions. Well, let me just touch on a couple more things here that will only take a couple more minutes of Bob's time, and then I'll close. How much to give? We've talked about that a little bit. I get a lot of questions on that. And as I indicated, I encourage young believers to give 11%, because that's the way God stirred in my heart through my study. But a guy that's been around a while, a guy that's working, and a guy that's single, I expect that guy to be giving up to 50%. I just expect it. Now, I don't challenge him. I don't tell him he's got to. In fact, most of the guys in the area, I've never even mentioned it to him. But as a guy grows in Christ, he just wants to give more and more and more. He wants to be more and more a part. And you can really see the heart relationship that you have with a guy as he enters in with you on that. And sometimes you can talk about his increasing his giving, or why is he giving what he's giving, some of those questions we had at the outset. The other, encouraging a guy to give 51% of his giving to you. And I've had people ask me, well, what's your scriptural guideline on that? And I have only one fair one, and that's Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if a guy is giving his money over here, and he's on your team, you will not have a wholehearted person. His heart is over there. And so that's one of the reasons for encouraging a guy to give at least half of his giving locally to the ministry, because that's where his heart will be, really wrapped right up in there. You challenge your people on giving sacrificially. We talked a little about that, so I won't go into that any further, but let me just give you a verse on that. 2 Samuel 24:18-24. David bought Arana's threshing floor. And Arana wanted to give it to him. And David said, no, sir, I'm going to buy it from you. Because I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. He would not do it. William Barclay says, a gift is never really a gift when we can easily afford it. A gift only becomes a gift when there is a sacrifice behind it, and when we give far more than we can afford. That's when a gift is a gift. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Will a man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? Ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it.